in the kingdom of God before we're here together in this gathering, that we're in the kingdom of God for a time such as this.
Amen.
Now that may be hard to believe, but that, because who are we? Are we the great influencers like someone with a podcast that has a million people or 500,000 people following them? Amen. I don't believe we have that. Do we? We don't have 500,000 following us, do we?
No.
No, I don't think so. Okay. Hallelujah. We don't have that kind of influence with people. What difference can we make? We can go vote. We can cast our vote for, I pray, a conservative politician that will try to hold the reins back on this kind of flow away from God that we are seeing today, amen, in our culture, in our society. We're not just seeing a flow away from God. We're seeing satanic things that are celebrated.
Oh, yeah.
I never thought I'd live to see the day. I'm not talking about Halloween stuff that mainly kids and you know, there's an element of spiritual stuff there, but we're seeing celebrities literally celebrating sin, celebrating Satan.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh yeah.
We're seeing, and it's not, you know, back in my day, we had music that they said they had backward mask. Subliminal messages about the devil. They thought Kiss. How many of you ever heard of the singing group Kiss? Some people call them kings in Satan's service. Well, they were not exactly angels in God's service, but I don't know, you know, to what degree they were sold out to the devil. But there is valid evidence. There are those that have made some deals with the devil. If you give me success,
give you the key,
then I will serve you. And they thought that maybe people were backward masking subliminal messages about worshiping the devil or Satan worship, and they would take a something and they would run it forward, and then they'd run it backwards and see if you could hear a voice in there and say, worship the devil, worship the devil, worship the devil. And they couldn't really define that. It could be. But they're not, it's not subliminal. They're not into, it's hard to pronounce it, subliminal. Some little something that maybe your subconscious, they're right out front, boldly, unashamedly declaring that they're followers of the devil.
Yeah.
So that's the day that we're living in.
Oh, yeah.
And we are here for a purpose.
Yeah.
You say, well, what influence can I have over a culture like this? What can I possibly do? You can pray.
Amen.
I can pray. I love what one great prayer warrior said, great preacher of old. Amen. And he said, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on their knees. Yes. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on their knees. Because he knows their weakness. Mm-hmm. When they get on their knees and they talk to God who has all power in heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. Their weakness won't hinder him if they don't let their weakness hinder them.
Amen.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
We've got too many Christians that think, because I am so weak, so insignificant, I'm so shaky in my own faith at times, my prayer changed my message. Boy, this is a good one too. Amen. But I'm going with the flow today. I'm too weak. I'm too insignificant. Look at us today. What can we do? We don't have a church that's shaking the city of Tampa. I don't know how you feel about your prayer, but I'm going to tell you how I feel about mine. Amen. The Bible said this. I'm right with God. How many here are right with God? You've become a Christian. You're saved. You've repented of your sin, been washed in the blood of Jesus. It didn't say perfect man. I want you to get that. You're not perfect.
No.
I'm sorry. You're not. I'm trying not to look anybody in the eye. Amen. I'm not perfect. Now, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, thank you. Amen. That you were not perfect, you're amen, and that I'm not perfect. Let's come into agreement on that today.
Amen.
But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen. Amen.
Availeth much. The context in the book of James is Elijah of old as a prophet to discipline his own people. He prayed for a famine to come. A true prophet won't just prophesy what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
Amen.
He won't just prophesy to you all the good that God is going to do, but he will prophesy the chastisement if it becomes necessary.
Amen.
The amens are getting. I thought I heard a cricket.
Cricket saying amen.
Now, you can go to a church and tell you something different. You won't hear something different here. We're talking about his prayer life and your prayer life and my prayer life.
Yeah.
What did he pray first before he prayed for the rain to come and restore? He prayed that God would shut the heavens in an agriculturally driven society. That there would be a famine in the land. Can you imagine? My grass is brown. My shrubs are brown. Amen. All that stuff on the roof of that little cover for the car. Amen. Remember all that stuff on the roof that you and Sean couldn't get up there because we're all too big and we'd fall through? I'm talking about me too. I had a little guy come want to clean off my roof. He wanted to do it for, you know, $20 or something. And he said, I'm afraid I'd fall through. I thought, if you fall through, he looked to be 150 pounds soaking wet. And I thought, if you fall through, I'm going to fall through. And if I'm going to fall through, Doug's going to fall through.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And if Doug falls through, Sean's going to fall through. So, but one good thing from the drought, it's all dead. It looked like I had a garden growing on the roof. It's all dead now. A drought, just this little drought that we've been in, things start to die. Can you imagine 3 years without a drop of rain? And the first expression of faith of a righteous man, a true prophet.
Yeah.
I think I told you this before, and I think you, I was in an evangelistic meeting as a young Christian, and we had the silver-haired prophet. I don't know if it's the same man, but he had silver hair. Amen. I could be him. I got silver hair. Amen. He's coming to church. He's going to prophesy over everybody. To me, that was a red flag. Because when do you get led of the Spirit? When do you predetermine what God is going to do through you if you're really a man or woman of God? When do you plan it, predetermine it? And then second red flag that came up. Even as a young Christian, it came up. And he's only going to prophesy good things.
Yeah.
In other words, don't be afraid. He's going to expose your sin and say judgment's coming. Wouldn't that be awful?
Yeah.
You don't go to church to hear that. Amen?
Come on, brother.
But if you or I continue in rebellion and sin, judgment is coming. Corrective judgment, not to destroy us, but to bring us back.
Amen.
Prodigal son goes off and does his own thing. Party hardy. Amen. He comes into a famine. He loses all his fair weather friends. He spends his inheritance. And he got so hungry during the famine that he asked a man, can I feed your hogs? I'll feed them for nothing if I can eat the husk of the corn. I'm going to feed them I'll give the hogs the corn, but I'm starving. Will you allow me? after I take the husk off and give that cob of corn to the hogs, can I have the husk of the corn? Now, he's in bad shape and famine. Yeah. And you know what occurred to him? He said, even the servants in my father's house are living better than me. Yeah. I'm going back to my father's house. Yeah. That's a corrective judgment. If he had been allowed to prosper in his sin, he would have died in his sin, and he would have been judged with the world and judged with the wicked. But because of the trouble that came in his life, he turned back to God. I'm going to tell you something. If you truly belong to him, the Bible said he chastens every son that he loves. How severe can that get? He scourges. What's a scourge? It's the way they beat Jesus. It's the way they beat Paul. Amen. It's they used to call it the cat of nine tails. Nine pieces of leather with shards in the end of it, and they whip you with that. Scourging hurts bad, but it brings good if it brings us back to God, because Satan wants to destroy you. God wants to restore you and me. Now, there are churches that will never tell you that. There are pastors proud of it. There are pastors that I never mention sin. Isn't it amazing that Jesus died so we could be forgiven our sin? And all of that blood that was shed at Calvary is wasted in a church that never calls sinners to repentance. Listen to me carefully today. You want a prayer life? You want to get in? Listen, a true prophet. Elijah was a true prophet. He wasn't a hireling. He didn't flee when the wolf comes. He was bold enough to obey God in prayer, even though it was going to cause pain and pressure among the covenant people, because they were away from God and he wanted them to come home. Because when you're away from God, you're out from under his covering, and Satan has a clear path to come in and do great harm, irreparable harm to your life and your eternal soul. Elijah was a man, number one, subject to like passions as you are. He's a prophet of God. He's got this powerful prayer life. But he was just like us. Mm-hmm. Subject to like passions as you are. That means he had battles with fear. That means he had battles with depression. Amen. He's like us. Just like us. But something set him apart. He prayed. He was subject to like passions as you and I are, but he prayed. The devil wants us to not qualify ourselves for prayer, even though God has qualified you and I for prayer. Amen. Amen. If you're really a Christian today, God has qualified you to pray.
Come on.
God has said, call upon me.
Yeah.
That means to pray. Hallelujah. Call upon me.
Hallelujah.
In the day of trouble.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't just sit there as if you have no access to me.
Come on.
You belong to me now. Call on me. If there be any sick, call the elders of the church for prayer, because God is a prayer answering God.
Amen.
And faith is released through prayer.
Amen.
Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, I'm going to bypass and circumvent prayer, because that involves a relationship with God. And I'm just going to stand on the word. Well, it's the word that tells you. You have not. Not because you don't have faith. You have not because you ask not. I'm amazed at the people in need of prayer.
Come on.
That don't call the elders.
Yeah.
We've lost faith in the power of prayer. And yet we're told in the scripture to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean to go mumbling a prayer throughout your day, all day long. It means don't ever give up on the power of prayer.
Yeah.
And the person who is listening. Because the giving up on prayer is essentially giving up on God.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you for the hearty amen. Is this the truth?
Amen.
You're highly qualified. That's why you're in the kingdom. That's why I'm in the kingdom. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
A true prophet. This guy is supposed to be a true prophet. He's coming to our church. He's going to prophesy over everyone. Everyone is going to get a prophecy from God. And I'm thinking, everyone? Everybody in the building? I knew some folks in that building. Well, anyway, moving right along. But don't be afraid that you're going to get exposed if you come to church by this prophet. Because he, before he even gets here, he's only going to prophesy good things. Do you know what the Bible said people would do in the last days? They would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Preachers, teachers, prophets, evangelists, pastors who would tell them what they want to hear instead of what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Come on.
Not only will they follow them, support them, give to their ministries, make them rich. They'll heap to themselves. They want more and more and more. What did it say in the Old Testament? They actually told a prophet, don't prophesy bad things now.
That's right.
Prophesy
smooth
things. Prophesy deceit.
Yeah.
They asked to be deceived.
Yeah.
Say that again. Prophesy deceit.
Right.
Don't tell us exactly what he said, because we'll have to get right with him and repent and accept his chastisement in order to be covered by him again.
Yeah.
Prophesy deceit. They ask literally to be deceived rather than to be delivered by the truth.
Amen.
You continue in my word, Jesus said, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. It's not to hurt you. It'll feel bad to your flesh. Amen.
Yes.
How many would rather? I'm not going to ask that. I know the answer. I'd rather somebody come up to me and say, God has his hand on you. He's going to use you to shake the world. And I say, amen. Hallelujah. You found favor in his sight. He's going to bless you coming in, going out, sitting down, rising up, everything you touch. Oh, my Lord. There's a real prophet. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Give me some more. Tell me some more.
God said, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran.
Uh-huh.
Amen. If they stood in my counsel and heard my word, then they would have turned the people from the evil of their doing.
If they stood in my counsel and heard my word, they would have turned my people from their wickedness and their doings.
Yeah.
If they stood in my counsel and brought my word.
Yeah.
You see, we're living in this day when people are literally asking, if they're not doing it as clearly as they did it then, they are doing it in the way that they heap to themselves these teachers that will tell them just exactly what they want to hear.
Amen.
And there's churches in this city will tell you what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to hear, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And you want to hear it from the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Can you say amen?
Come on.
The God of the Bible is the one we're serving. The Christ of the Scriptures is the one who is our Master and our Lord.
Yeah, amen.
Not the one that man has decided to alter to fit the culture and to fit our sinfulness. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, but he prayed that God would bless Israel in every possible. He prayed, no, he prayed what was needed for them to get the true blessing. Yeah. That God would shut the heavens, bringing a famine in the land. Yeah. And he even prayed for the length of it under the inspiration of God. For 3 years.
And 6 months.
And 6 months. Little icing on the cake. 3 years. How many real children of God? I saw all my hands raised. He chastens every son that he loves. And sometimes he does it through his word.
Yeah.
And I'm his switch. I don't get a lot of amens and hugs after these kind of services. But you need this. Not because you're terrible, it's because you're human. And I'm human. The Apostle Paul had a great admission in my flesh. In my flesh, may I say in your flesh, in my flesh too. There is no good thing. I preached like this one Sunday morning back in the old Holy Church of God in Sulphur Springs. And one of those young, long-haired hippie freaks that had just got saved, that was trying to kick marijuana that he'd been addicted to, amen, realized, if I don't conquer my flesh, I'll never conquer this habit. He said, I know exactly what to do after this service, Pastor. I said, what's that? He said, I'm going straight home and kill myself. Not commit Harry Carrier suicide. He said, I'm going to crucify my flesh and bring my body under subjection to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He prayed. Now we're talking about answered prayer and true prophets. They pray for chastisement to come if it's necessary, but it's corrective. It doesn't mean to destroy Israel, but to instruct them. Bring them back under his covering. Because if you walk and I walk in rebellion, I walk out from under his wing of covering. Amen. I walk out from under the covert of his wing. I therefore am subject and vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. And he is set for your destruction. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You're under God's covering. Guarantee you, he won't be able to destroy you.
Amen.
Get out from under God's covering and you're in big trouble. Israel got in. Their enemies conquered them and enslaved them because they got out from under his covering.
Come on.
So he says, come back. Come back. And if we don't heed the call to come back and draw near to him, then things begin to occur that make us realize we've got to get back. We must come back.
Amen.
We come to want in order to come to bless him. Amen?
Amen.
How many like this part of Deuteronomy? There's two parts to it. It's one great bit. Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Yeah.
If you heed his word, obey his commandments. You have a heart to obey Jesus, make him Lord of your life, as we would take that in the new covenant. Amen. And heed his voice. These, I like this. Everybody say it's going to get good now.
It's going to get good now.
You didn't say it like you believe it. Wait till you hear what it says. Deuteronomy 28. Blessed is the man. Amen. Hallelujah. These blessings shall come on him, and they shall overtake him. Amen. He'll be blessed in the city. He'll be blessed in the field. He'll be blessed when he sits down, when he rises up, when he lays down, when he rises up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. These blessings will come on him. It goes on to say, as you flip the coin over, that if you do not heed his word, and seek to obey it. You're not going to do that perfectly, but you have to have a heart to obey. Come Repent on. When necessary. I don't have a problem with repenting. Amen. Come it brings on. Restoration.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Anyone with a problem with repenting in this room today, you have a more serious problem than just not repenting. It's the pride that keeps you from it.
Amen.
My dad, I love him to pieces. I said, Dad, he had this guilt thing, and I worked with him for 2 years before he went to heaven to try to get him to enjoy his salvation and to accept the love of God that was his unconditionally. But he had, these things were grilled into him at a very young age. I said, Dad, come to church with me. Come to church. You can ride with me. We had two cars back then. Pamela could boogie while I was praying with people and talking to people and whatever it took. And Dad said, well, I would, son, but I'm afraid that you might be preaching and call me out and in the presence of people, I would be so embarrassed if you called me out and asked me to repent of some sin in my life. I said, what sin? He said, well, there might be something. I said, if there's something, let's deal with it right here. You won't have to be afraid of it being exposed to everybody. That guilt, and I thought, Dad, don't let the devil disqualify you from the blessing of the Lord. If there's a sin issue, let's settle it. If we say we have no sin, the Bible said we lie. Yeah. We're not disingenuous. We're not totally honest. We are flat out liar, liar, pants on fire. But if we confess our sin, is that so hard?
Come on, brother.
For someone filled with pride, it is. Because if I confess my sin, now I'm going to have to deal with it. Jimmy Swagger said, I had men around me that if I had went to them, it didn't have to become public. It didn't have to hurt the reputation, not only of Jimmy Swagger, but everybody in the pulpit. I had men around me that could have helped me with the issues in my life. But I couldn't tell them. This is his words. I'm not condemning him. I'm telling you what pride will do, what your flesh will do. It could have been avoided, this exposure to the world. The Bible said if you see your brother in a fault or in a sin, go to him privately. Don't tell it to the church until you seek to bring him in and bring him or her back. And if he don't listen to you, take somebody with you. And if you still can't get him to repent or her to repent, tell it to the church. But you don't start with telling it. When Saul went to battle with Jonathan, and they were destroyed in battle because Saul was wrong with God, and Jonathan, in family loyalty, stood with his dad that he knew was wrong. They were both killed in battle. They were not only killed, they were made a spectacle of. It said they hacked them to pieces. You know how they were buried? They collected the pieces of Saul. The pieces of Jonathan. And they burned the pieces in fire. Collected the bones. To bury the bones. There wasn't enough pieces to piece together. They couldn't make them look pretty in a casket. There was no honor in a death brought on by compromise. And the Bible said that they couldn't be touched until Saul, filled with pride, disobeyed God and rebelled in his heart. And then they lost battles that God had promised to give them victory in. Are you with me today? Samson was made a spectacle, wasn't he? They not only gouged his eyes out, they had him do what an ox or a mule would do. They took him to a grist mill. They roped him to it, chained him to it, and all day long he walked around in a circle like a beast. Yeah. And they made light of him, made a spectacle of him. The devil not only wants to defeat me and you, he wants to make a spectacle of that defeat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when David heard that Jonathan was destroyed in battle, and Israel lost the battle, and Saul, King Saul, was destroyed in that battle, and they lost the battle, here's what he said: tell it not in Gath, publish it not in Ashkelon. Gath, Ashkelon were two capital cities of the Philistines, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. They're going to rejoice that these champions, one-time champions of the Lord, had fallen. And David lamented and said, how art the mighty fallen? How could they? It was as if, listen to the, in context, it was as if they were not anointed. I'm going to tell you something. The anointing without our heart being cleansed from the pride and tendency to rebel, amen, is not enough to give you victory. Samson, under the anointing, tore a lion when he was a young boy, tore as he would a baby goat when the Spirit of God came upon him. But in the weakness of his flesh, he went into a city to lay with a prostitute. And then, and got up the next morning and found the city surrounded by Philistines. He's compromised, but God is long-suffering and patient, but his patience will not allow us to continue in rebellion and sin. Listen to what happened. He went out. They had locked him in from the outside. He took the gates that were locked on the outside, took them off their hinges, and threw them down. Yeah. When the Spirit of the Lord came on him after the night of compromise, the anointing was still evident in his life. There are people that can commit sin and preach under the anointing. Samson operated under the anointing because God wasn't quick to take it. And so he assumed without repentance. He should have thanked God for such grace that allowed him. But instead of that, he continued down the road of compromise. And I wanted to slap him if he wasn't bigger than me. I mean, you want to wake him up? He falls in love. L-U-S-T, kind of love. But anyway, with a Philistine woman. He lays her head in his lap. He's comfortable outside the faith, outside the faithful. He's now comfortable. And he's sinning. And she says, what's the secret of your strength? He says, you know, if they were to use brand new green cords instead of those dried out ones, and when they try to bind me, they could bind me and I couldn't get out. He goes to sleep. He wakes up and guess what? He's bound with green cords. Do you want to wake him? I mean, not slap him to hurt, slap him to wake him up. This woman has hornswoggled you, son. And you can't see it?
Come on.
She said, listen, if you really love me, Samson, you tell me the truth. You know that didn't work. She's going to sell him out.
Yeah.
And he's too blind by this woman.
Mm-hmm.
Delilah. He says, the secret is my hair. It's a covenant between me and God. As a Nazarite priest, if I ever cut my hair, I lose the power of the anointed in my life. And he wakes up, and guess what? He's got a buzz cut.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he did? He was so used to the Spirit of the Lord coming anyhow. He thought it was permission to continue in rebellion. And he shook himself as at other times. He was bound and his hair was cut. And listen, when he shook himself that first time, it said he didn't have to flex. You ever seen a picture of Samson in a Bible, what they pictured him and featured him? He had muscles I don't have places. He looked like Schwarzenegger's daddy, if he looked like that. I mean, he's known for his strength, so they portray him muscular. I don't believe he was. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. I believe he was a little Jew like Woody Allen. Can you imagine slaying 1,000 troops? Oh, and the weapon that God gave him, so God gets not some of the glory, most of the glory, but all the glory in our victories?
Yeah.
What weapon did he offer him? When 1,000 armed troops came on and the Spirit of God came on him. The jawbone of a donkey that had died, and now he's got a bone from the jaw, and he picks up the jawbone and he starts heaps upon heaps. I have slain 1,000 men. He killed 1,000 Philistine armed, battle hardened troops with the jawbone of a donkey. And by the way, to keep him humble, and I believe he was absolutely, I don't believe God had to put someone, if God supernaturally uses you to do something like that, it's still you he's using.
Right.
If he uses you supernatural, remember this, preacher. Where's the preachers at? There's got to be one somewhere who needs this message. Amen? If not, I'm going to look in the mirror and preach it to myself. Because I don't want to miss it. I've come this far.
Come on,
I don't
brother.
Want to mess up now.
Yeah.
Oh, do you ever fail in any way? Absolutely. And I go before God quickly. I don't let the sun go down on it. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Jesus, hallelujah.
Listen carefully. He suddenly became weak unto death.
Mm-hmm.
He was totally, absolutely dehydrated.
Yeah.
Just because God uses someone supernaturally doesn't mean it makes them supernatural.
Amen.
And he, by the way, he's already going to leave his legacy instead of wanting God's legacy. He wanted his name. He's going to name that hill where heaps upon heaps of slain. I have slain 1,000 men. He's going to name that hill something to draw attention to him and this weapon he had in his hand. What a guy. The hill of the jawbone. He's going to name it that. Have you ever been by somewhere and it said he had a sign? Maybe you were traveling, you went across a little bridge, and there's a bronze sign that said in 1897 somebody, you know, did something great here, or somebody slept here at some inn. He wanted something like that. Samson killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Oh, that's my legacy. What a guy. What a powerful man of God.
Yeah.
And he got weak. The moment he said that out of his mouth, the hill of the jawbone, he was weak unto death. And what did he need? He needed water.
Right.
cause that shows dehydration.
Right.
You get dehydrated, you're going to get weak, very weak. You're going to be hospitalized if you don't get fluids in you, and they're going to give you an IV to start rehydrating you. God rehydrated him. Mm-hmm. He said, look at that jawbone, Samson. He said, Lord, help me. I'm dying. He looked at it. There was water in the crevice of the jawbone.
Yeah.
He gets water out of a rock. That's not the only time God got water out of some inanimate object. Mm-hmm. He got water out of a jawbone of a long dead donkey.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And he drank from that. See, God's a God of restoration.
Yeah.
When we come to the place of humility and repentance, he will restore.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on,
us,
brother.
You and me.
Amen.
And anybody else, glory to God, that will humble themselves and call on him.
Amen.
And his strength came again. But something had changed now. At that point, something had changed.
Come on,
in
brother.
Samson.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not going to call this the hill of the jawbone. I'm going to change the name. The well of him that cried. How many know that's grace right there?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
If it wasn't for his grace.
Yes.
His favor when I didn't deserve it. When I was trying to take the glory that is his and his alone.
Yes.
And yet, not only did he give me the victory over the Philistines, he gave me help when I myself knew without him I'm less than nothing.
Amen.
So if you see a bronze sign, amen, and a graveyard with 1,000 men in it, hallelujah. The name of the place is the well of him that cried.
Come on, brother.
If we can stay humble and dependent on the Lord, that pride that is intrinsic to my flesh and yours. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but I need the grace of God.
Amen.
I depend on the grace of God. I exist because of the grace of God. I am saved because of the grace of God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So Samson is now made a spectacle of, and David said, don't tell it in Gath. They'll find out soon enough.
Yeah.
Don't tell it in Ishkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. And if you don't think that the world didn't rejoice when Brother Swaggart fell, when PTL fell, when these leaders of churches today are falling, people that have built mega churches that are now, many of them exposed, not all of them, but many, too many,
yeah,
are being exposed of living a double life. Singers,
yeah.
I've had, there are songs that I love and singers that I love to hear them sing it, but when their sin is exposed and they're unrepentant, it's hard for me to worship to that song.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Does it hurt you? Does it bother you to discover that someone that seemed so dedicated was living a double life? And the words of the songs they wrote and sung were insincere because they didn't love Jesus like that. The day of playing church is over because God is cleaning house.
Come on.
Like I told my dad, if there's a sin that you're afraid is going to get exposed, let's expose it to God and me and you and God, and let's get it taken care of.
Amen.
Don't let that keep you from coming to church and hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
Be sure. There's a lot of things you can't be sure of. But here's something you can absolutely be sure of. That's why the scripture says be sure. Don't doubt this for a millisecond. No matter how we conceal it, no matter how deep we try to bury it, no matter how we try to express a persona that is not the truth about ourselves, be sure. Be sure. Be sure. Your sin will find you out.
Amen.
Brother Benwell, I don't like that. You need it whether you like it. I need it. Because it keeps me from trying to hide it. It keeps me from trying to bury it. Back in the pioneer days, how many liked the show Little House on the Prairie?
Yeah.
I love that show. I wouldn't want to live on the prairie. Amen. I want my iPhone. I want my iPad. I want my computer. I want air conditioning. I want heat in the winter, and I want air conditioning in the summer. I don't want to have to go to the well and draw water. I want the water in my house. Can you say amen? I don't want to walk out back to an outhouse at 5 below 0 to go to the bathroom. I'd like my bathroom in my house. Oh, it was so wonderful. It was so wonderful to live on the prairie. No, it was tough.
Yeah.
But in those days, the story is told as true. A little neighboring girl visiting a farm next to them. On her birthday, that farm was doing well, and these people were very poor. And so, anyway, the little girl got a real pretty doll for her birthday. Real pretty doll. You know, big, beautiful doll hair. You know, all the things you mentioned look realistic. And the little girl that visited her was so envious. And she wanted a doll like that. They fell on hard times, and she had to give up that doll. They sold it, actually, in order to get some money for seed to plant. But her grandma, she was crying because she lost her doll. Her grandma took pieces of that. They actually made clothing out of sacks that meal and flour came in.
Yeah.
So she took some pieces of that, and she sewed a pattern and filled it with oats to make it look like a doll. Yeah. It hadn't rained then, and hard times were all over, and the little girl came to visit, and she saw it. She said, I want that doll. And while no one was looking, she took it home, stole it, took it out in the backyard, afraid of being caught with it, and buried it just about that deep. And the rains came back and watered the ground.
Yeah.
And those oats began to grow.
Yeah.
And guess what form those oats took? The form of that doll that they were in.
Yeah.
Where they're now this green image of a doll made by the oats growing.
Yeah.
Be sure your sin will find you out.
Amen.
Now I'd rather go to God and get it settled than have it exposed or have to go through something to get my attention and to get me to quit trying to gaslight God.
Amen.
Nothing hid from the eyes of Him whom we have to do. Nothing. You can't bury it deep enough. We shouldn't try to bury it. He knows it, and He loves us.
Yeah.
He calls us to repentance. That's the message that the Laodicean church rejected. They didn't let Jesus in. That was the message. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Have a real heart for it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's not the pagans in the world. The sinful world has never known Christ. It's the church of Laodicea. Why didn't they let Him in? Because He wasn't the silver-haired prophet that prophesied good things. He said, you say, I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. But I say unto you, you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked.
Amen.
Who wants that? Not Laodicea. And yet repentance would have brought them into a fellowship relationship with God. And he wanted it. If any man will hear my voice, open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and him with me.
Amen. Amen.
If you're not in fellowship with God, you're empty. I don't care if gifts flow, if you're a preacher in a pulpit. That's why preachers in the pulpit fall victim to sin's dread sway. Because they're not in a fulfilling fellowship with God. And they start looking through sins of the flesh to find that satisfaction that they can't find in Jesus.
Come on, brother.
But could find in Jesus. With humility. Someone told me, Brother Venable, if that person so anointed couldn't stand, how can I stand? Because we are kept by the power of God. Yes. That's something. That power is available to you and me. Amen. Not to be sinlessly perfect, but kept from this complete destruction and made a spectacle of. Let's get Samson out of that pickle before we close. Now he's back in trouble. Back in trouble. They took his eyes out. He's blind. He's made a spectacle of. A little boy comes and stands near him. He senses his presence. Reaches his hand and sees he's a little boy, and he says, and they're worshiping their God and making a spectacle out of the true and living God in their temple, celebrating the defeat of God's champion. And he says, this must be a mighty big temple of stone. It must take some big columns to hold up the roof on this place. The little boy says, oh, I wish you could see them. They're huge. He said, could you take me over and let me put my hands on these two columns that I may feel how big they are? Listen, God wasn't going to do that to defend Samson, but to defend his name.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? This is. Have I said anything that isn't in your Bible? That don't look at me so hard.
Amen.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. Receive the message.
Yeah.
If you don't like the message, find another book. Because this book will not tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear, because God loves you too much to let you go into destruction. He will head you off. Thank God he will head you off.
Amen.
The testimony, I got to know him personally, went to pray for him after he had a heart attack. The president of Full Gospel Businessmen's International Tampa chapter. Amen. He said, Brother Venable, and he looked like a businessman. He was a businessman, but he looked the part too. In his suit. He said, do you know where God got me? He said, I was just into riches and money and sin. And he said that I ended up in jail. Behind bars. And I couldn't go out there and do all the sinning I want, in spite of all the money I'd accumulated. Couldn't go build my business so I could continue my sinful lifestyle. But now I couldn't. I was hemmed in. I was hemmed in. And he said, in that jail cell, I said, Jesus, I need you more than I want you more than I want any sin that money can buy.
Yes.
And he accepted Christ. In jail.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I never knew he'd ever been to jail. He looked like a straight-laced, 100% righteous man. And he was through the blood of Christ. But that didn't mean that he didn't come from some place where a lot of people are and need that deliverance. Listen carefully. Thank God for the grace of God. Here's what Samson did. He said, Lord, and be careful how you pray for deliverance.
Yeah.
Ask for deliverance to bring the glory to God.
Yeah.
Amen. Not to avenge yourself on the people that are applauding your defeat.
Come on, brother.
You want to hear the wrong prayer? God answered, but not for that prayer. He answered because he wanted his name glorified again. And he wanted to use Samson. But here's all Samson had on his mind. And you can see the carnality. You got it up on the website. Got a distorted picture of you. Looks just like you, I must say. Amen. Have you been to our website? You got to see one of those reels where he got one of these face things. I thought he was going to make himself prettier. As if he could. Amen. Boy. Did you see that? You did? Yeah, it's pretty bad, right? Clickbait. Good clickbait. Got people's attention, no doubt. You must go there. Want to hear how Samson prayed wrong? See, we put these champions up as if they're just under the anointing. The anointing is all you need. No, you need to be right with God. Anointing doesn't take the place of being right with God. Having a covenant doesn't take the place to exempt you from your enemies defeating you if you come out from under his covering.
Come on, bro.
Here's Samson's prayer. Lord, strengthen me one more time that I may avenge my eyes that were taken by the Philistines. I want you to help me kill them for taking my eyes. Listen, he was blind to his own sin before they ever plucked his natural eyes out.
Yeah. Come on.
Because he kept laying his head in Delilah's lap.
Yeah.
What did he want the anointing for? To personally strike back at them. He brought it on. He sinned. He compromised. The trouble he was in, they couldn't touch him if he was right with God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know how you should have prayed? Should have prayed, Father, I've dishonored, brought dishonor to your name.
Yeah.
Strengthen me one more time to let the Philistines know that you are the truth and the living God.
Yeah. Amen.
But he didn't. See, this is the real world. Not this biblical fantasy world where David is killing the giants and David was the most dastardly sinner that you could ever find. You read the real story of David, it'll make your stomach turn. The fact that he could be restored is an evidence of even grace under the old covenant. And we've got a better covenant established on better promises. Amen. For the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than the blood of bulls and goats. Glory be to God. But look what David was able to receive when he truly repented.
Amen.
And he went on to be a great king. And was honored to such a degree that to call Jesus, who came through the lineage of David, Son of David, was an honorable thing to say to him. The Spirit of God came on Samson again. He pushed those columns. They broke in two. The roof fell in. Killed everybody in the building. Including the man of God.
Yeah. Come on, brother.
Samson died with the Philistines.
Mm-hmm.
God defended his name, not Samson's.
Yeah.
Right.
Hallelujah. I don't want victory so Robert A. Venable can be known as a great man of faith and power. I want victory so my king can be honored and my king can be glorified. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want victory so my son, Alan, who's with the Lord, could see in his dad. Amen. If you really serve God, he will bless you. He will keep you. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. I want my son Matthew, when he's talking to me and I stop and I begin to pray and he sees his daddy praying and he sees prayers answered. Oh, not answered on my timing, but in my life, seeing his daddy serve God and seeing his daddy blessed because of it. Yeah. Seeing me sick and get up out of bed. Seeing me down and get up and go on. Seeing my joy. Seeing me with peace when the trouble comes. Yeah. Hallelujah. I lose it every now and then. Has anybody ever just lost it? Say, yeah. Oh Lord, I gotta get back. I gotta get back somewhere where I can rest in you. I can't stand to be out there. Amen. With the poor old me's feeling sorry for myself. And I'm going to say this with grace. I can't blame the devil anymore. Yeah. Flip Wilson. Anybody else remember the TV show? You remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. He played that woman, didn't he?
Geraldine.
Yeah, he was good at playing Geraldine. She bought just a man dressing. No big deal now. Back then, it was kind of funny. Now it's just an everyday occurrence. Can you say that? What was it that got the Super Bowl? He was in a dress in one of the things, and I thought, okay. Anyway, moving right along. So I think whoever was supposed to be the husband, Geraldine, she had bought a dress that cost all this money, and she said, why did you do that? Why did you spend all that money? She said, well, I was tempted. I was tempted. I tried to resist. But the devil kept tempting me. Well, why did you give in? Well, he pulled a gun. He made me do it. The devil, that was his get out for everything he ever did wrong. The devil made me do it. I heard people trying to defend preachers that have failed. Said, well, their ministry was so powerful. They were so highly anointed. God was using them so wonderfully. That's why the devil tempted them and he got them. No. If he can get them, he can get you. He can get me. He can get anybody. Not because you're powerfully anointed and an influencer, but because he wants to destroy people.
Come on.
If I fall, I can't blame the devil.
Amen.
Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil. What will happen if you're totally surrendered to Christ and his lordship? He will flee from you. How many has ever felt the devil come against you? I have. And I admit it. He comes against me. But if I'm right with God and resist him, he doesn't have the authority to overcome me. Amen. I have to give place to him because he has no authority to take it if I don't give it to him. Amen. I refuse to give it to him. Amen. Give no place to the devil. Having done all, stand that you might withstand in the evil day. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Stand, therefore, with your loins girt about with truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Gird up the loins of your mind. Put truth before the liar. He's lost his weapon against you.
Come on.
Don't entertain deception. Hallelujah. Oh, that there was such a revival of repentance so there could be restoration.
Amen.
And we could live lives that brings glory and honor to God instead of just plain church. So the silver-haired prophet came, and he prophesied such blessings over everybody. I did not go up for prayer because I knew there was such sin and compromise in many people. I wasn't judging them. God prejudged certain things. He says adultery is wrong. Fornication is wrong. This is sin. That is sin. When it's prominent, you're not going to have God tell you it's okay.
Amen. That's right.
And they went on in their sin. I went to try out for a church, and I won't go there. They didn't want me, but I was there in God's purpose to give God's word. And I don't want to ever be in a church where I can't give God's word to God's people. Because I watched too many people shipwrecked that spoke in tongues, that prophesied, that say they saw visions, that say God told me, God showed me, God this, God that, and then they shipwrecked.
Yeah.
Come on.
Because they were so high spiritually, they could not submit to the authority of God's word. I don't want that to happen to anybody in this room.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want you to be real with God and right with God. So prayers can be answered in your life and so you could be kept by the power of God until the day of redemption.
Amen.
Praise
Jesus.
God. Apostle Paul was kept that way through the grace of God. And he said, I'm persuaded that he is able, faithful and able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day.
Amen.
Can you say
amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not worried about that. But Paul was very quick to repent when he was wrong.
Amen.
To humble himself when pride tried to enter. Have you got something out of this service, good, bad, or somewhere in between?
Amen.
Amen. You like Bible stories?
Yeah.
I do. Because I see what not to do. To stay out of trouble. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I can learn from other people's mistakes and their chastisements, or I can commit the same folly and foolish things that they did and end up with the same consequences. Someone said one time that if history has taught us anything, it's taught us that people do not learn from history. Because if we learn from history, we wouldn't repeat the same things that brought the judgments and brought the trouble. Can you say amen? Well, I want to learn from the Word of God today. Will you stand to your feet?